She told me that that same evening, William had teased her to let him wear a very valuable miniature that she possessed of your mother. This picture is gone, and was doubtless the temptation which urged the murderer to the deed. We have no trace of him at present, although our exertions to discover him are unremitted. But they will not restore my beloved William. Come, dearest Victor, you alone can console Elizabeth. She weeps continually and accuses herself unjustly as the cause of his death. Her words pierce my heart. We are all unhappy. But will that not be an additional motive for you, my son, to return and be our comforter? Your dear mother. Alas, Victor, I now say thank God she did not live to witness the cruel, miserable death of her youngest darling. Come, Victor, not brooding thoughts of vengeance against the assassin, but with feelings of peace and gentleness that will heal instead of festering the wounds of our minds. Enter the house of mourning, my friend, but with kindness and affection for those who love you, and not with hatred for your enemies. Your affectionate and afflicted father, Alphonse Frankenstein, Geneva, May 12th, 17. Clerval, who had watched my countenance as I read this letter, was surprised to observe the despair that succeeded to the joy I had first expressed on receiving news from my friends. I threw the letter on the table and covered my face with my hands. "My dear Frankenstein," exclaimed Henry, when he perceived me weep with bitterness, "are you always to be unhappy? My dear friend, what has happened?" I motioned to him to take up the letter, while I walked up and down the room in the extremest agitation. Tears also gushed from the eyes of Clerval as he read the account of my misfortune. "I can offer you no consolation, my friend," said he. "Your disaster is irreparable. What do you intend to do?" "To go instantly to Geneva. Come with me, Henry, to order the horses." During our walk, Clerval endeavoured to say a few words of consolation. He could only express his heartfelt sympathy. "Poor William," said he, "dear lovely child, he now sleeps with his angel mother. Who that had seen him bright and joyous in his young beauty, but must weep over his untimely loss? To die so miserably, to feel the murderer's grasp, how much more a murderer that could destroy such radiant innocence! Poor little fellow,